Okay, well, here's where we're going this morning. We're going to continue to kind of talk about the cost. Now, what we've been trying to do over these last few weeks is to let you know that at the core of what we mean out of our purpose statement is to, obviously, to give this accurate picture of God to help by helping those who believe become fully devoted followers, this grow, this live, this display thing. It's all caught and captured in what I pray for and what I believe God wants to do in our church, which is found in 2 Corinthians 5. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. Here's what I believe God is seeking to do in all of our lives. He says this in that passage, "The love of Christ controls us because we've concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." That's what our goal is as elders and pastors and shepherds, is not only in our own life, but as we work out this grow, live, display thing, is to help all of us in here to truly embrace this amazing reality that you no longer have to live for you. You can actually live for the one who created you, who died for you, who rose again for you, so that you might live for him. That's the heart of what we've been teaching about this, and that's what we're moving towards. Now, a lot of times then we'll say, well then, what's in it for me? I got great news for you. And Jesus knew people would be asking this, and so he's talking about the kingdom of God, and when we come to Matthew 13, he looks around at a group of people that were probably thinking, okay, I'll give my life up. What's in this? And this is what he says. "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Jesus goes, you want to know what's in it for you? Everything. Right? Next week we're going to talk about this. Paul looks at the Corinthians and says, do you get all things are yours? Your dad, if you're a follower of Jesus, is the king of the universe. He owns the sheep on every field, even if you're not a shepherd. And because of it, all things are yours. Watch this. He continues on in 45 and 46. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had to buy it. He's like, are you kidding me? That is the great thing. Now, a long time ago, I read a book, and it kind of told the story, kind of in a fictional way, of what happened when this merchant showed up to buy this pearl. And so what I want to do is I just want to kind of walk through the story to kind of get us going so that we can kind of wrap our minds around this idea of the cost. Now, if you can just imagine with me, here's the merchant. He's walking through the stores and different things, and finally he comes to this little table of this guy with a beard sitting there. And as he comes up, he sees this pearl that is absolutely amazing. The guy, being a merchant, looks down at it, and he knows it's great. He doesn't want to act too excited about it, so he looks at the guy behind the counter and he says, "How much?" He goes, "A great bargain for you today," the guy behind the counter said. "I'll sell it to you for everything you've got." Guy looks down at it. He's like my wife in this moment. She's convinced she can haggle. He said, "So that's your firm price, huh? Everything?" The guy goes, "Yeah, everything." And he goes, "By the way, even if you give me everything, it matches this value in no way. This thing is greater than anything you've got." So the guy looks at him in a little while, and he knows this pearl is amazing. He goes, "Okay, I'll take it." He reaches in, he pulls out his wallet, gives him all of his cash, credit cards, checkbook, writes everything out of his account, hands it to the guy, and he goes, "There you go, that's everything." The guy behind the counter looks at all of it, and he said, "Man, this is great." So he goes, "This is everything." Guy thinks for a second. He goes, "Well, I could go back to my car." The guy behind the counter says, "So you have a car? I'll take your car." Guy sits there for a second, the merchant, and he goes, "Okay, I'll give it to you, but I don't know what I'm going to tell my wife when I get home." "Oh, you have a wife." I'll take her too. Who's going to raise my kids? Oh, you have kids. Yeah, I'll take those. Man, my home is going to be lonely, so you have a home. I'll take your home. You're going to force me to live in my motorhome? Oh, you have a motorhome. I'll take that too. Now, in that, I just share that because when we talk about what it is to truly live our lives for Jesus Christ, this is what we're facing. That when we said, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, and he offered us the pearl of great price, he meant what he said in that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 6, you've been bought with a price, you're no longer your own, and now the life that you live for him. So the question is then, in all of our lives, what gets in the way of us living like that? Now, for some of you, you're sitting out there and you just kind of go, oh, I don't want to give everything, and we're going to talk about that here in just a second. But what gets in our way from actually now in our lives giving all to Jesus Christ and following him? Well, let me just throw out a parable or a situation in Jesus' ministry. In Luke 9, it says he had set his face to go to Jerusalem. He was on his way. All these people wanted to go with him because they thought it was just going to be the greatest thing in the world. Jesus was going to conquer all. And as Jesus is moving towards this, he suddenly is encountered by this guy in verse 57. It says, as they were going along the road, he said to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. Now, you know this is a setup. And this guy, you're sitting there going, don't ask that question. And you know Jesus in that moment was waiting for him to do it. Now, on a personal level, if somebody came up to me and said, Todd, I'll follow you wherever you go, I'll be like, let's go. Come on. I would never do what Jesus does. But Jesus stops, and you can just tell in this cool moment because he knew the guy's heart. He said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now, what he's confronting in him that's so key is this little thing that I call comfort. Guess what age stage of life I'm in? The Barbie dream car. Now, what I mean by this is we are just naturally comfort seekers, aren't we? We love comfort. And when things get uncomfortable, we get more uncomfortable. But what Jesus was saying to him is that if we're going to advance the greatest message ever, get used to being uncomfortable. That's what he's saying. He was coming at him on this level that we're trying to find comfort in this world. See, our problem is the more we find comfort in this world, the less we want what Jesus Christ has for us, which is the comfort which he promised for eternity. And so Jesus comes at him and says, well, if you're on my mission, don't plan on being comfortable. Second thing, he talks about another guy. Jesus looks at him and says, follow me. Now, you know, the first guy's like, don't answer that question, dude. Don't go there. But he said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, what he's talking about there, and specifically probably at this time, what it was referencing was to bury my father wasn't so much that maybe dad was dead, but let me go wait until my dad passes away. I'll gain my inheritance, and then I'll have security to follow you, Jesus Christ. So just let me go kind of deal with this first, and as soon as I have enough security, then I'll come follow you. It's kind of in this thing that I would say when we talk about it, and just so you know, not only did I steal this from my children, but I have no cash, and so I stole this from my children this morning. Don't tell them. But with this, he's now confronting this idea that we think that what makes us secure in life is having more of this. I hope over the last 5 years we've learned this does not make you secure. Jesus wanted them to get that at the end of it, their security wasn't found in money. It wasn't found in 401ks. It wasn't found in all the things. Now, that doesn't make these things wrong. Money's not evil. The love of money is the root of all evil, Jesus said. But it's this idea that I can begin to think that this mission does not require, I'm going to have security to do it before I go out on it. The last one he goes out after, which I think is probably the one that hit me at the core when I was thinking through this. He said to another, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first say farewell to those at home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." That's intense. And the hard part about that one is that hits us at a pretty deep level, doesn't it? These little kiddos in the leg of the woman, you don't see her. I adore them. I do. I love them more than anything this world has to offer. But what Jesus was saying is, I'm better. I'm better than anything in this world, including your very own family. And he said, at times, there's going to be these opportunities where, yeah, we're going to get to serve our wives or our husbands or our kids. But when it comes to choosing, I'm greater. That's where this becomes hard, isn't it? That's why with it, when Jesus Christ in Matthew 19 came to the rich young ruler, the young man came to him and said, "How must I be saved?" Jesus kind of laid out a few commandments, and the guy looks at him and goes, "Oh, I've kept all those since I was a kid. I'm on top of that, homie." And Jesus suddenly went to his heart. See, it's fascinating that one guy he had to address comfort, one guy he had to address money, one guy he had to address family, because it's so fascinating. Every one of us in this room don't share the same idols, do we? All these things that keep us from enjoying Jesus and loving Jesus and following Jesus, every one of us in this room is going to be a little different. And to the rich young ruler who is considering following Jesus, he said, "Well then, sell everything you have, give to the poor, and follow me." And it says the rich young ruler walked away, and the idea is ashamed. See, there was this confrontation of what it meant to follow Jesus, and he said, "No, I'm not there." Now, I love what Peter said in this. You can always count on Peter, man. Peter probably led the guys and all the disciples. They're just at this place. They heard this, and it says they were greatly astonished, saying, "Well, then who can be saved?" Jesus had just laid out this idea of the whole camel through the eye of a needle thing, and these guys are sitting there going, "How are we going to do this?" And I love verse 26. Jesus said, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." See, even when I look at this precious little family, and I can say they're cute because they share no genetic material of me, how am I ever going to learn to love Jesus more than I do them? And God would whisper to me saying, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." You can do that. See, that's what this year is going to be. It's going to be a year, I believe, of us learning the value of Jesus. See, in a cool way, it's not so much that we have to demean all these other things. I believe we just have to put the pearl of great price in front of you. And pretty soon, the more you see the pearl of great price, the less and the less of these other things will seem attractive. So I don't have to bash your house or bash your car or bash your money or bash your family. I just put in front of you, hopefully, Jesus Christ. And as you put Jesus Christ in front of me, strangely, the things of this world grow dim. And that's what we're going to be doing this year. Now, let me tell you the rest of the story of the pearl of great price. So the merchant's got his pearl, and he's imagining going home to mama and explaining to her, "I just sold you and the kids and the house and everything to some dude." And the guy stops him, and the guy behind the counter says, "Wait a second." So the guy stops, and he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I got one more thing." And the guy holding the pearl goes, "Are you kidding me? I gave you everything." He goes, "I got one more thing for you. I'm going to give it all back to you. But I want you to understand, in me giving it back, it's not yours, it's mine. I'm going to give you back your house. But I want you to use your house not like you would use it. I want you to use your house like I would use it. I want you to open your house up to the poor and the oppressed and the needy and the widow and the orphan. I want you to use your house like I would use your house. I'm going to give you your precious wife back with an understanding that that woman was bought with a price. She is pure and beautiful. I don't want you to treat that woman like you would treat her. I want you to treat her like I would treat her. I'm going to give you your kids back. But I want you to understand, those aren't your kids. They're merely something that was given to you for a time to steward well. I'm going to even give you your motorhome back so that your lead pastor can use it whenever necessary. Oh, I'm just kidding. See, the beauty of it is I don't have to make you today feel guilty about anything. I just need to tell you that Jesus is Lord. He has conquered sin. He has rescued you from death. He's rescued you from sin. He's rescued you into an eternal relationship with Him forever. He has put in front of you the pearl of great price that is of greater value than anything that this world has to offer. I am putting in front of you today and this year, let's go hard after Jesus. Let's make our life about Jesus and our hope about Jesus. Let's get excited about Jesus. Let's learn what it means this year to truly live a life that is not for ourselves, but for the one who was crucified and rose again. Amen? So with that, I almost wanted to just get you now riled up, but I'm not going to. Now here's why. I want to have kind of a somber moment right now, reflective. For us to think that we can rile ourselves up is crazy. And so I'm going to bring Josh up. If you don't know Josh, he's the president of Eternity Bible College. He's one of the elders here at Cornerstone. Yeah, I agree. Somber just went right out the door. That was your wife, don't lie. But I just want to pray today. I want to take about 10 minutes and let's just ask God to give us a vision for the pearl, a vision for Jesus. And so with it, He's going to give you the offer to pray by yourself. And I think most of you are going to go, yeah, I'm just going to go pray by myself. I dare you to pray with somebody else. I dare you today to look at your husband or your wife. I dare you to look at your friends around you and go, let's just pray together. Let's beg God to give us a vision for what Jesus might do through us as we learn to love Him more and the things of this world less. Amen?
Hey, you want your stuff? Anyone want some money? He said he didn't want it. Yeah, there I killed the somber moment too. I'm excited just to be able to spend some time. I looked back over the past 5 weeks and just what we've been talking about as we look forward to this year. And took some of the scriptures. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to put one of the scriptures up and read through it and remind us of something from a few weeks ago. And then give you a couple of prayer points. And like Todd said, if you want to pray by yourself, you can. But I'd prefer if you just grab someone next to you and just spend some time praying. And then after you've prayed for a little bit, I'll lead us in prayer on that. And then we'll move on to the next scripture and kind of work our way through things that way. So the first scripture I want to remind you of is from Galatians chapter 5. Back when Todd was talking about us walking in the Spirit, and Paul says this, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And I just want to remind you that we want to be not just led by the Spirit individually, but corporately, that as a body of people, we want to be led by the Spirit, that God's Holy Spirit is that gift of us being members of the new covenant, that He's given us the Holy Spirit to walk by the Spirit. And so just a reminder of some of the things we talked about back then, that that God might give us faith and trust in Him, that He might remind us of our ongoing need, which drives us to prayer and drives us to depend on the Spirit, that we would plead with God that He might drive us to action and then make us thankful for the things that He does. So let's take a few minutes and pray that way, and then I'll lead us in prayer about that as well. God, we thank You so much for making us Your people and for everything that You did in order to accomplish that, for the rescue plan that you set in place with Abraham and you brought to fruition in Christ, and you have reconciled us to yourself, and now you have given us your Spirit. And God, we beg you to lead us by your Spirit. Lord, we submit ourselves to you as obedient children. Our heart's desire, Lord, is to be led by you, to have faith to actually walk the way that you want us to each day, Lord, to actually step out and do the things that we know that you are leading us to do, whatever that is, whether small or big. Lord, I trust you that in the lives of these people that you will lead them, and that you will lead us as a body together to do the things that you desire us to do. That, Lord, our desire is to see your name made great, to see you lifted up, to see you glorified in our lives. And we know the only way to do that is to be led by your Spirit. So, Lord, allow us to walk together, by the Spirit to put you on display. We love you so much. We can't wait to see what you're going to do as we submit ourselves to you. Teach us daily to submit ourselves to you, to walk according to your will, to follow the leading of your Spirit, Lord. We pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. The next one I'd like to remind you of is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is a couple of things there. It says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And so as we take some time to pray, just be reminded that if we are being led by the Spirit, we are led into the mission of God. And that mission of God is to declare the message of reconciliation, that to be those ambassadors, and pray that God would make us faithful ambassadors for him and be faithful to take his message to others. And along those lines, as we've been talking about grow, live, display, ask God how he might lead you in particular in ways that you need to grow, in ways that you need to live out the gospel, and in ways that you need to display the gospel in your community and around the world. So let's take some time to pray about that, and then I'll lead us again. Oh God, we thank you for reconciling us to yourself, that we were your enemies, we were opposed to you, we were running from you, and yet you grabbed us and you've reconciled us. And Lord, it is so amazing for us to be a part of your family. And God, we beg you to make us good ambassadors for you, to be able to take your message, the most glorious message ever, the good news about what Jesus has done and is doing and is going to do, and Lord, to take it to others that are around us. Lord, I pray that you would just open our eyes to see those that you have put in our lives, and to know how it is, and to see the circumstances of life, and to know how to bring the good news into their lives. May we be you to them. May you take us and use our hands, use our lives, Lord. Take us through circumstances of life to put yourself on display, Lord. We entrust ourselves to you, and we beg you to take and to use us as a group as well as individuals, God, to put yourself on display, to take the message of reconciliation. Lord, there are areas of darkness in our city, not just around the world, but in our city, around our county, and around the world, that we are the ones that you desire to use to bring light into those areas. And so we ask you to lead us to bring the light of reconciliation with you, the God of the universe, into those dark places. Please lead us into those areas. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And the last one is also from 2 Corinthians, a little bit earlier in chapter 4. Paul says this. He says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. I think we need to beg God for us to be able to see the circumstances of life, the things that you're going through, the difficulties and the trials, as what Paul says there, light, momentary afflictions. And the only way that we can see it that way is, like he says, is to be able to see the eternal weight of glory. And I think that's something we just absolutely have to beg God for, that for us to see eternity, to see the future, to see the resurrection that he has in store for us, the eternal weight of glory that he has in store for us is the only way for us to be able to live the way that he wants to. So let's pray that he gives us eyes to see the things that are unseen, opens our eyes to understand that eternal weight of glory. And let's ask God to work in our hearts to make us willing to do anything, to give up our comfort, to give up our security, to give up anything, to put it all out there for him. That's only something that he can do. Let's beg God to do that, to make us live lives where our heart's desire is for one thing, and that is to hear at the end, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's spend some time praying about that. This will be the last one. I'll lead us at the end. Oh, Lord, thank you for telling us the end of the story. The end where the new heavens and the new earth will be there, and sin will be gone, and every tear will be wiped away, and that you will give us resurrected bodies, and we will be able to live out the glorious plan that you have for us. Lord, help us to live in light of that. Lord, take the things in our lives, Lord, the things that even now in this room, Lord, I know people are suffering through struggles and difficulties and death of loved ones and diseases and loss of jobs and just so many things, relational struggles, God, that you can take and you can put yourself on display in amazing ways. And Lord, give us perspective on those things. Help us to see beyond just the things that are in front of our eyes, to see the reality of what you have planned for us as your children. And Lord, we just desire, Lord, help us to live with that one desire to just hear from you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And that, Lord, you have made us more than servants. You've actually made us children of yours. And we just rejoice in that. May we live in light of it, God. We beg you to work in our hearts to be able to see those things that are unseen, to walk that way, God. Give us eyes of faith to see that and to be able to walk faithfully, Lord, that we would see that it is all worth it because you are worth it, that your glory, putting you on display, that seeing Jesus lifted up is so worth it of anything that we might give, Lord. So we come with open hands. We come with open hands of everything that's in our lives, the idols, the things that we hold on to, the things that we don't want to let go of. This morning, we hold out to you with open hands, and we ask you, Lord, to take them and just to give us you, that we just want you. We want to walk with you. We want to love you, Lord. Give us hearts, Lord. Even as we pray these things, may you have us have lives that match the things that we say with our lips, God. We desire to be your children faithfully, Lord. Lead us this year in that. We pray in the name of our great Savior, our great King Jesus. Amen.
All right, well, here's what we're going to do to finish off. We're going to be talking, we're going to get back into the book of 1 Corinthians here in the next next weekend. We're going to kind of talk about how do I deal with these idols in my life, that they are something I need to repent of. They are things I need to deal with. They're going to kill my hunger for Jesus, and so we're going to go through 1 Corinthians. There it is. The other thing that we need to talk about is this idea of membership. I laid this out a little while ago. One of the things that we're very serious about is not so much the idea maybe of membership, but this idea that are you going to partner with us to get after this? We want you to. We believe that we're about to stretch off in the next couple of years to do some things that are pretty exciting, and we want you to come along for the ride of this. But we are asking you, if you're going to be a part of us, well, then partner with us and let us know you're partnered with us by signing up for membership. The other thing is we got Cornerstone 101 that's coming up starting next week. If you want to learn about Cornerstone, or maybe you've been here a while and you need to relearn Cornerstone, we're going to be offering that back there. And then just finally, if you have any questions, let us know about some of the things we're doing. But let's just stand up and let's pray. And let's just trust this year to the Lord. Father, thank you so much for everyone that's here. God, I beg you that you would do a work in us. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, would you teach us that the comfort of this world is nothing in light of the comfort that you offer. That, Father, you would teach us not to find security in this world, but instead we'd find our security only in you. That you would show us that even the most precious things of this world, including our family, are nothing in comparison to how beautiful and wonderful you are. And in fact, Father, as we know you, it reshapes us to understand our wives and our kids and our husbands. God, would this year you cause us to be a church that pushes hard after you, we beg you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Have a great week. We'll see you.